Anyway, what was I saying? Incidentally, the other problem with the copper wire is getting the insulation. In the end, I wrapped it up in fine cloth, and we painted every layer with some sort of varnish they use on their shields, which seems to have done the trick. And, you know, I think time-travelling affects the memory. Like your memory subconsciously knows the things you're remembering haven't happened yet, and this upsets it in some way. There's whole bits of history I can't remember. Wish I knew what they were. Excuse me a moment. Here's another one. An oldish guy. Quite bright, by the look of him. Why, I bet he can probably write his own name. But, oh, I don't know. He hasn't got the... Wish I knew what it was he hasn't got. Charisma. Knew it was there somewhere. So, anyway, yeah. So there I was, 3 centuries adrift, and nothing working. Ever seen a time machine? Probably not. The bit you move around is very, very hard to see, unless the light catches it just right. The actual works are back at base, and at the same time, in the machine. So you travel in something like a mechanical ghost, something like what's left of a machine when you take all the parts away. An idea of a machine. Think of it as a big crystal. That's what it would look like to you if, as I said, the light was right. Woke up in what I suppose I've got to call a bed, just straw and heather, with a blanket made of itches woven together. And there was this girl trying to feed me soup. Don't even try to imagine medieval soup. It's made of all the stuff they wouldn't eat if it was on a plate. And believe me, they'd eat stuff you'd hate to put in a hamburger. I'd been there, I found out later, for 3 days. I didn't even know I'd arrived. I'd been wandering around in the woods, half-conscious and dribbling, a side effect of the travelling. Like I said, normally I just get a migraine. But from what I can remember of that, it was jet lag times 1,000,000. If it had been winter, I'd have been dead. If there'd been cliffs, I would have thrown myself over one. As it was, I'd just walked into a few trees, and that was by accident. At least I'd avoided the wolves and bears. Or maybe they'd avoided me. Maybe they think you die if you eat a crazy person. Her father was a woodcutter, or a charcoal burner, or one of those things. Never did find out. Or perhaps I did, and I'd forgotten. He used to go out every day with an axe, I remember that. He'd found me and brought me home. I learned afterwards he thought I was a nobleman because of my fine clothes. I was wearing Levi's. That should give you some idea. He had 2 sons, and they went out every day with axes too. Never really managed to strike up a conversation with either of them, until after the father's accident. Didn't know enough about axes, I suppose. But Nimue, what a girl. She was only... How old were you when we met? She wipes her hands on a bit of rag. We'd had to grease the bearings with pig fat. 15, she says. I think. Listen, there's another hour of water above the mill, but I don't think the generator will last that long. It's shaking right merrily. She looks speculatively at the nobles. What a bunch of by-our-lady jacks, she says. Jocks. Yes, jocks. I shrug. One of them will be your king, I tell her. Not my king, Mervyn. I will never have a king, she says, and grins. By which you can tell she's learned a lot in 12 months. Yes, I broke the rules and told her the truth. And why not? I've broken all the rules to save this damned country, and it doesn't look like the universe is turning into this tiny ball 0.005 angstroms across. First, I don't think this is our timeline. It's all wrong, like I said. I think I was knocked sideways into some sort of other history. Maybe a history that will never really exist except in people's heads, because time travel is a fantasy anyway. You hear mathematicians talk about imaginary numbers which are real, so I reckon this is an imaginary place made up of real things. Or something. How should I know? Perhaps enough people believing something makes it real. I'd ended up in Albion, although I didn't find out until later. Not Britain, not England. A place very much like them, a place that shares a lot of things with them, a place so close to them that maybe ideas and stories leak across, but a place that is its own place. Only something went wrong somewhere. There was someone missing. There should have been a great king. You can fill in his name. He's out there somewhere in the crowd. It's lucky for him I turned up. You want me to describe this world? You want to hear about the jousts, the pennants, the castles. Right. It's got all of that. But everything else has this, like, thin film of mud over it. The difference between the average peasant's hut and a pigsty is that a good farmer will sometimes change the straw in a pigsty. Now, get me right, no one's doing any repressing, as far as I can see. There's no slavery as such, except to tradition, but tradition wields a heavy lash. I mean, maybe democracy isn't perfect, but at least we don't let ourselves be outvoted by the dead. And since there's no strong man in charge, there's a little would-be king in every valley, and he spends most of his time fighting other would-be kings, so the whole country is in a state of half-hearted war, and everyone goes through life proudly doing things clumsily, just because their forefathers did them that way, and no one really enjoys anything, and good fields are filling with weeds. I told Nimue I came from another country, which was true enough. I talked to her a lot, because she was the only one with any sense around the place. She was small and skinny and alert, in the same way that a bird is alert. I said I broke the rules to save this country, but if I'm honest, I'll have to say I did it all for her. She was the one bright thing in a world of mud. She's nice to have around. She learns quickly, and, well, I've seen what the women here look like by the time they're 30. That shouldn't happen to anyone.